This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. It would be awkward not to mention it, a tragic situation. Campus of UNLV just miles down the road from where Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, and of course, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, lifelong resident of Las Vegas. There was an active shooter on campus at UNLV. It does appear that the shooter has been eliminated. I don't know how to say that in a tactful way, but ongoing investigation. I see as early as 27 minutes ago, UNLV campus continued to shelter in place as police services continue to respond and clear buildings systematically. So I'm just doing all that we can do, pass along the information, and obviously send our best. I'd be remiss not to mention a situation obviously going down at UNLV. Okay, and Scott driving in, of course, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper there in Vegas. His daughter up in Reno, of course, so, but she has a bunch of friends as she was born and raised in Las Vegas. And she, you mentioned she was texting with friends I'm sure she went to school with that go to UNLV.
Yeah, a lot of friends that she grew up with that went here, that are going here. And fortunately, you know, we know a lot of the parents, obviously, for many years now. And fortunately, everybody she's called has called back saying, I'm good. And one of her friends, not to get into it too deeply, but happened to be in Beam Hall, which is where all this started, and texted Sarah a picture of the doors, the shattered doors from the bullets, and then sent it to me. Yeah, pretty scary situation. You know, we had a thing going on in Reno last spring, I believe it was, and there was a person threatening to shoot everybody on campus along with restaurants near the campus. And I won't get any more detail than that because it was pretty gruesome what he was threatening to do. And fortunately, the Reno police were able to catch him within 24 hours. So it's a scary situation, and you really feel it when you got a kid in college and you see this stuff going on anywhere, but especially when you know a lot of the parents and a lot of the kids that have stayed here to go to school at UNLV. And, boy, just crazy stuff, man. And I'm going to tell people
certainly
real quick.
Certainly provides perspective.
If they're listening to this show and they're in Vegas, Charleston to Blue Diamond, now the Spaghetti Bowl, people here will be familiar with that, too. Blue Diamond on the I-15 is completely shut down. I found that out driving in today.
Yeah, Scott coming in to do his weekly spot with us, which we appreciate, dealing with traffic. And situation at UNLV certainly provides perspective during the holidays. And what we get to do, which is provide a distraction. So we'll do that here on Sharp Money. Scott, thank you for coming in. Doc Sports, DOC Sports. Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. If you were to go to a bar and meet up with your buddies and you're a casual bettor and you're talking about the Rams-Ravens, the smart bettor in the group is going to immediately say, tough travel spot for the Rams. It's an early window game for a team going west to east. And that was almost like, you know, the 3 points to the home team. Like, there's some adages that just kind of float along in the gambling parlance that have to be dispelled. You have a buddy that's been a professional bettor, Al McMorty, who's one of those guys that has a database that goes years and years back. And you two have been a good partnership for a long, long time. You came on our show years ago and said, you know, I just wanted to talk about this West to East Coast myth. Now, I don't expect you to have all the stats because I sprung it on you, but can we talk a little bit about this misnomer?
Absolutely, because it was about 12. I've known Al and I have been close since like 1999. So we're talking about a quarter century that Al and I have been partnering up on a lot of betting and handicapping stuff and information. So it was probably 12 or 13 years ago. And it just got to the point where we're on the phone one night and I said, God, it's just like everybody says this. I mean, everybody is just talking about West Coast, East Coast. Life's not that easy in the world of sports betting. And so we dug into it. We went all the way back to 1980. Through at the time 2009, we did it again a couple of years ago to see where it was at that point. And as of now, a couple years ago, it was 50-50 for the most part. However, the West Coast was actually ahead of the East Coast enough to actually profit. It wasn't 50-50. It was a little more than 52.3%, the break even on 11 to win 10. It was upwards of, let's say, 53-54% of that neighborhood that the West Coast was covering on the East Coast going back to 1980. We dug a little deeper. How does a West Coast team do if they're playing on in an Eastern time zone 2 weeks in a row? Second week, the West Coast team was upwards of 70% against the spread. And obviously, the guys behind the counter are making numbers knowing this. They're making you lay a premium if you're laying a favorite, laying with a favorite on the East Coast. You're not getting your value that you deserved, at least back then, with that West Coast. And the West Coast teams are winning. So, I did this on your show. I think Dustin was producing that show back then, your old show. And 10 years ago, we talked about it. And I still see this to this day on networks. West Coast team on the East Coast, it's not good for the biorhythms, it's not good for this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, it's damn good for covering the spread. You know? And so I've told like a million people, and there's still a few out there that'll, even though we tell them, will repeat it anyway. I had one guy, I'm not going to say his name, because he hasn't done much to be like on networks or anything like that for a few years now, but most people would recognize his name. And I said to him 7-8 years ago, he was talking about that. We were doing a show together, and I said, I go, West Coast on East Coast doesn't work. And I had the figures with me at all times back then so I could show everybody. So I'm showing him, and he goes, well, it sounds good, though. Okay.
It does.
It sounds good. So I'm just going to keep saying it, I'd love to fly to the moon, but, I'm not going to say I've been there 3 times. It's like, so I'm seeing that. I'm just shaking my head. And then, a couple of network shows came out, and I was good friends with a couple of guys on these network shows, and they would repeat it, not themselves, but maybe others on the dais. And I would send them a text every time and going, guys, here's the record. And they would repeat it the next day. Just totally blow off, which is so irresponsible to those out there watching these shows and listening to those shows. If you don't know it and you haven't gone back to look, okay, 1.5 million people have done that. But if you know about it and you're still repeating it because you can't figure out something more to say to back your bet, you're doing a disservice to anybody out there who's playing, whether it's a dollar parlay or 15 dimes. It just doesn't matter. It's just a disservice. So I'm glad you brought it up, because we haven't talked about it on air for a long time, and I haven't heard it out there on social media or on networks nearly as much as I used to a few years ago. So maybe the word's getting out there a little bit.
I just want to add one thing to it. First of all, I love the point you brought up. So many times you get so many fallacies in the sports betting space, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. For me, the one is in college basketball, Scott. Someone would go, so-and-so is going to empty their bench. I'm like, do you actually watch these games? Let me tell you something. The rat at Durham, Mike Krzyzewski, never played scrubs until there was like 2 minutes to go. You don't see the 11th and 12th guy with 9 minutes logged for a game. It's for a season. Yep. I mean, these teams, if they're going to cover 28 or 30 points, they're going to do it. It's not because the guy who you've never heard of, the walk-on, is playing. He gets about a minute and a half. It's such a misnomer. It drives me nuts when I hear that in college basketball. Well, they're going to play their scrubs. Really?
Unranked. Ranked home teams against favorite against ranked teams is one of the biggest fallacies out there.
Yeah.
And at one time, that did hit. That was a winner. But it's been many, many years since that was a consistent winner season after season. It's basically 50-50. It's a not, as Bill Walton would say, and I won't try to do his voice, it is a non-factor. And so you got to watch out for those, because, if you're a guy working 40, 50 hours a week, and you want to make some money on the weekend or on your days off, supplementing your income or having fun, and you hear these things and you see them on, so-called respectable sites, and then you're like, okay, this has to be true. And then you get caught up in it. So I always just tell people, if something sounds too good to be true in sports betting, it is too good to be true.
I just want to repeat. So just to circle back, a common sports betting trope is to discuss, and you even brought up the term, which is so often used, the biorhythm, the body clock, and it's always starts there. Like the Rams, they're catching 7 at the Ravens, but remember, it's not only West to East Coast, it's an early game. It's the early window, so they'll continue to talk about the sleep. Let me just be very clear. You heard it from Scott Spritzer here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That is a complete misnomer. They've gone through 35 years of data. Understand that if you hear that from a buddy or anybody that's promoting themselves as sports betting analysts, that is simply not true based on the numbers.
Let me follow that up real quick, because there's somebody that you and I, all of us here, know that has said in the past, and I brought it up, well, what if it's a 10 a.m. game Pacific time? What if it's a 1 p.m. game? What if it's a Sunday night game? What if it's a Monday night game? What if it's a third? Doesn't matter. It's all grouped together. And so they keep looking for this to be something, and it's just not anything.
They really want it to be. they so really bad. Want, because it sounds like you said the guy that said it, he said it sounds good. It does sound good.
Sounds great.
It sounds common sense, and then it makes you sound smart when you say biorhythm, body clock. It does sound good. It's just not true.
And we got to remember, these guys playing these, you know, professional sports athletes, these are all-stars, college all-stars. They're built differently than us. They think differently than us. They're superhuman, you know. So me getting out of bed at 8 a.m. because I didn't go to bed till 4 a.m. is a little bit tougher for me to deal in the whole relative scheme of things than, you know, Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts getting out of bed at 8 a.m. and only got 4 hours of sleep.
I was getting ready to say, don't you guys remember when you're between 21 and 30, you could roll off the rack and no problem, and you're going to be fine. I mean, who's saying this? Somebody who's 75?
Can I take it even a step further? And I know this is going to sound weird to you guys, but Bill Davidson owned the Pistons. And you remember the Bad Boy Pistons 89-90 when they went back-to-back?
Sure.
He bought the team a plane called Round Ball One. That was the first team in sports to charter. After Bill Davidson bought the Pistons a plane, their own plane, and started chartering the team, everybody else across the four majors started doing it.
Yep.
And since then, travel has become much easier. It's like traveling in your bedroom on these chartered planes, guys. So to your guys' point, like, not only are you young, like you said, them all, but they're traveling in luxury.
By the way, Patrick, quick update from Birmingham, England, which means that's where Villa Park is. And Villa knocks off Man City 1-0.
I mean, it's incredible. It really, Scott knows EPL. Scott, for Pep to go there at Aston Villa, trying to keep up with, of course, Arsenal. Liverpool's up there near the top of the table as well, and catching Al, that's a tough loss.
That is a very tough loss. And, well, I'm telling you right now that I'm not as big into the EPL as I once was, but we still recognize the rough losses, and that's certainly one of them.
I thought Patrick,
your Red Devils are in the mix. That's all I can tell you.
As long as Liverpool's in the top four on the table, this is a happy guy.
That's right.
Patrick made a great point yesterday. That late goal yesterday by Arsenal could be the difference in who wins the Premier League.
Well, especially now with the loss where they miss out. They don't even get a point with a draw. So I mentioned Red Devils. No, the Reds. That's Liverpool.
I was going to let it go.
Scott Sprite's
here. Yeah. You cannot let that one go.
Man U is not his team. I want to make that clear. It's Liverpool.
Show I'm doing,
we're
by
back
the way.
With Scott Sprite's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the most wonderful time of the year can also be the most stressful time of the year when it comes to finding the perfect gift for the ones who matter most. Fortunately, Omaha Steaks is the convenient and thoughtful gift that is guaranteed to delight every single person on your gift list. Well, I'm out. Every single time. Now, shop carefully. Dustin's ordered from Omaha Steaks before, and he loves it. It's curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off. But here's the kicker. We're going to hook you up with the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and at checkout, you get an additional $30 off your order. So 50% plus $30 off when you use the code VSIN. The offer is not going to last long. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away. So shop early and beat the shipping rush. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage. 50% off site-wide and then $30 off extra when you use the code VSIN. Minimum order may be required. Okay, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson there down at Bar Canada at the D. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Sandwich in between the fellas today on a Wednesday. It is professional handicapper Scott Spritzer, Doc Sports, docsports.com. Of course, Scott wins on Twitter, one of the best to do it. And we just dispelled the west to east travel myth in the NFL, which I think was important to do. Scott, you got a bunch of notes. I want to start here. I'm going to ask the question we've been asking everybody. Adam Burke, our partner, managing editor over at VSiN.com. He's one of 30 remaining in Circa Survivor. So you know what that means. A lot of money on the line. Who would you go with this week if you were hanging around? And again, I'll give you the board. If you're hanging around in Circa Survivor, remember, you got to have somebody for Christmas as well. So it's a tricky spot.
So let me look. I'm just looking at the board right now. I'm looking at all the games. Well,
first off, let me ask you this. New England, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's laying 6.
Okay.
I'll give you some of the options. New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Cleveland. It looks like it is going to be C.J. Beathard, even though Lawrence is trying to come back. Dustin said he would take Houston at the Jets. He would take Houston. So those were the three we were debating yesterday. New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and then Houston Jets. Of the three, where would you go?
They're not easy. Yeah, I would say out of those, I think the play that I would look at the most would be the Houston Texans over the just dysfunctional New York Jets, who have finally convinced their second string quarterback to play again this week. You know, so.
All right, so that's you. So, big guy, you have Scott on your team there. Amal, I believe you went with Pittsburgh tomorrow night. I went with Cleveland and Joe Flacco. Now, those are three tough decisions when you potentially have, I don't know, $6 to $9 million or whatever it is on the line. And even the implied value right now on the ticket, what'd you say it was, Amal? About 280K?
Correct.
That's insane.
How many tickets does he have, by the way? Because, like, I was asked about being in the contest for some show before the season began, and I thought about it and I turned it down because, first of all, it would take too much time away from my normal handicapping. Secondly, I'm like, you got to have 10 cards, 8 to 10 cards at least to have a chance. I know a guy back east who's been involved in these a few times, and he and his group have won as much as, like, 400K off of these kind of contests, these survivor contests. And I asked him a couple of years ago, how much time do you put into this a week? He goes, at least 15 hours a week, which might be more than most. I don't know. But I couldn't do it because I'm like, boy, I would need 8 to 10 cards at least to feel like I had a shot. You know, like Fezzik, I think he's first or second in the contest. And, you know, I think he's got like 5 cards. And if you're going to be real serious about winning, you need to get the limit. You know, you need to get 5 cards and hope that at least one of those is going to hit. So that's just another example, you know, of you got to have.
How many did he have them all?
He had 5. And he said 5. He was approaching it early on where figuring out which one would jump out and be his best entry. Mm-hmm. And then he started refocusing how he did it when one of them got off to a better start than the others.
Okay. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think he got down to like week 10 with 3
Correct.
Remaining. And then he, you know what he lost? He lost with Minnesota on that Monday night against the Bears. Mm. And but he, one of his entries continued moving forward. So he's 1 of 30. It's a great spot to be in.
Sure. And so that's what you got to do. So I was just thinking, you said Adam Burke had it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, correct.
I would like to talk to him and see. I mean, if a guy wins the Circa, the Westgate, the Survivor Millions, and he's got 1 card, 2 cards, holy cow, what a season. Not to take anything away from, you know, I have multiple cards, things like that. Not to take anything away from anybody who has multiple cards. It's not like it's easy to do. I got 5 cards, I'm going to land on the money. That doesn't happen. But the bottom line is that if Adam Burke's gotten this far, you know, with 1 or 2 cards, that's pretty amazing.
It really is. Good luck to our buddy Adam Burke, who was on Tuesdays. Let's start with the basketball, and then we'll finish up with the football. And we'll start college, Scott, because it's a marquee matchup tonight. Marquette going to be in a bad mood after the loss to Wisconsin. We had our buddy Mike Randall on earlier, said he thought they were kind of peeking ahead, and they're laying a price. They're laying 8. Here comes Texas at Marquette, a total of 152.
Yeah, you know, I love handicapping when there's a busy card. I love handicapping, like, Ken Palm's top 25 teams. And one of the things it does, like, some, you know, a lot of people can sit there and look at the entire slate when there's 75, 80 games, and they can keep that same sharp thinking throughout the entire card when they're handicapping their games. You know, Friday afternoon for me is a, you know, 8 to 10 hour day if I'm going to handicap every college basketball card on Saturday's slate, you know, when you get into the season. So what I've done over the last few years to help out and to at least get, have that fresh, solid, quick thinking mind, at least for the first hour or so, is to just start handicapping Ken Palm's top 25 teams. And when I land on a team that has lost their last game and I look into why they lost, what they've done so far this season, who they're playing, what that team's done, you know, a lot of times I'll play those teams. I had UConn over North Carolina last night, for example, in one of those games. So I don't really shy away from top 25 matchups. And in this case, I went ahead and laid it with Shaka Smart's Golden Eagles. he gets to coach against that program that I thought, you know, he never really fit with that program in Austin, Texas. He left for Marquette. That's his home state, Wisconsin. But his Golden Eagles, they're legit. They're already, they've already faced four teams that are currently in Ken Palm's top 11. They went 2-2. And despite that tough slate, this team's 11th and 17th in offensive and defensive adjusted efficiency, and they've nailed over 60% of their two-point shots so far this year, again, against a very difficult card. And then I look at Texas. They faced one team inside the top 160. They lost to UConn in that one game by 10. 0-7 spread slide, and they lose by 20 points per game on the road against teams that outscored their opponents by an average of at least 12 points per game. So what's that basically saying is that, you know, Texas away from home, they go up against elite level teams. They've not played well over the last seven times against these teams. And then, of course, you got the added motivation with Shaka. I'm not sure that really lasts more than a minute into the game, that kind of stuff. But I thought the line should have been a little bit higher. Last night when I got it, not a big difference. There were a lot of 7.5s out there and mostly 8s now. I did see a couple 8.5s this morning pop up, but I think it's all basically 8 almost across the board. But Marquette's the play for me.
Scott, I want to go with something a little bit away from the games. You mentioned your handicapping on Friday. It would take you 8 to 10 hours if you're going through the whole board. So on a, when you get into the conference play, Patrick, you're looking at 125, 130 games on a Saturday. Do you just kind of, how do you pare it down in terms of what you're looking at, or what do you decide to do? How do you approach it?
This is probably going to sound really elementary, but I think it's a good idea for people who don't have a lot of time to spend at this stuff. I bust out my books on Mondays, and I look through the following Sunday. And I start writing down, if this team does this, I might not play it if they do this, but I'm going to look and handicap that situation for the upcoming weekend. So let's say on a Monday morning, Marquette, okay, I'm earmarking them. They've got a couple of games here. On Thursday, they're playing, you know, top 10 Kansas. If they win, I'm going to do this on Saturday against this opponent. If they lose, I'm going to do this with this opponent. And it doesn't mean I'm going to automatically play that team, but what I'm going to do is look at those games first when my mind is sharp. And between that, between handicapping Ken Palm's top 25 on a busy card, that's where I start. Because, you know, 8-9 hours into this, man, your mind just starts seeing every line looks the same, basically, at least for me. But that's what I tell people all the time. Try to limit the amount of confusion you can call yourself, cause yourself. And that's what I do with my handicapping in college basketball, because there's so many darn games. And I think that helps out quite a bit, especially if you have limited time because you're working a full-time gig.
No, I think manual is smart. I think it also saves you handicapping time with those little notes that you make, like eliminate that.
Sure.
And then focus on what you like. I actually think that's really smart. I wanted to ask you, let's go NFL, NBA really quickly, because we're back the regular season, and I've got a prop in one of the games you're playing. Orlando's been great this year.
Sure.
We just have a minute here. At the Cavs, are laying 4.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually like Orlando in this spot tonight, guys. And again, they were 4.5 last night. They're 4 now just about everywhere. There's always that thought process that a team just lost its big, you know, winning streak, and they might go into a mini funk for a couple of games. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I do like Orlando in this contest. I took the 4. Could have had 4.5 last night. They're limited books, though, as far as the action you can make on those teams. But I think they bounce right back and get the outright win tonight.
And you still can find a 4.5. So if you do want to tail Scott Spritzer with the magic, make sure you find that 4.5. As a matter of fact, the book you guys are sitting at right there is showing 4.5. So before you leave, make sure you make a bet. Okay, we're going to come back with more NBA bets from professional handicapper Scott Spritzer. And then, of course, the NFL as well. It's Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, we've got to take a break to tell you about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or a dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn is made up of 6 simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. It's available 2 strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Scott Spreitzer is here, and we appreciate him efforting during a busy time coming down to the D there. Professional handicapper Doc Sports. Dustin, would you like to report? Because I clowned you a little bit earlier about talking baseball, but it looks like we do have a done deal with your boy, Juan Soto. Go ahead.
Sounds like, according to John Morosi, a trade agreement is being finalized now. Soto and Trent Grisham will go to the Yankees for Michael King, Brito, Randy Vasquez, Kyle Higashioka, and Drew Thorpe.
Michael King still have an arm left based on the way they used him last year?
Remember how his season ended? His elbow, like, exploded on the mound.
Well, I thought Boone thought he was the only guy in the bullpen.
I don't know who Drew Thorpe is. I'm going to assume he's a prospect because the rest of the guys are just random human beings in baseball uniforms.
I'm not really on top of baseball right now, but are the Padres quitting baseball?
The Padres.
What is that trade?
So, you know the old phrase, Patrick, that if we don't learn from history, it's going to repeat itself. That's what happened to San Diego Padres. It's something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know who said it. Thomas Jefferson, maybe? I don't know. That's always my guess for quotes, Thomas Jefferson. If you ask me a quote, I'm going to tell you it was Thomas Jefferson. They're doing the same thing they did a few years ago when they traded for Kimbrel, or they signed Kimbrel and the Uptons, and they made all these big splashes. They can't afford any of these guys. They're not a big market team. They gave Xander Bogaerts like $300 million. They can't be doing these things. They had to take out a loan to make payroll at the end of the year, so they're definitely not keeping Juan Soto long term. Might as well get stuff back. Here's what I'd say, though. Remember, they traded Abrams and Mackenzie Gore to the Nationals to get Juan Soto. They just got a bunch of, like, guys in their prime who are, like, okay. Higashioka was an all-star because he's good defensively one time. They're all, like, okay or bad.
But this wasn't going to move. This was a move that was going to happen either now or at the end of July if they weren't in contention. Because, remember, Soto's a free agent after this season. And Scott Boras would take him to Siberia if they had the best offer.
What is he to lead the league in home runs is my question. Because he's about to play in Yankee Stadium where he can hit a pop-up in the upper deck.
Fair enough. All right, so Soto to the Yankees. All right, let's get back to the NBA. Dustin, and I'm all sprinkling if you guys got anything NBA-wise. I know I've got a few props here. Oklahoma City at Houston. You know what? All of a sudden, two pretty fun teams to watch here, Scott Spreitzer. Oklahoma City's laying two on the road and 226 on the total.
Yeah, you know, it's as much as I like the Thunder, and I like the way Chet Holmgren is being brought around. I mean, he's actually having a pretty darn good year after the injury last year. But it's tough. I try to keep things as easy as possible for those who've noticed or listened to me over the years. And sometimes it gets a little squarish, and this might be one of those. But I like Houston tonight on Wednesday night. They dropped three in a row heading into the mini break, but all of those losses came on the road. They've been virtually unbeatable at home, as everybody knows. They won eight in a row. They're 8-1 straight up and against the spread in their nine home games. And they win those games by 13 points per contest, the point differential. And I know that Udoka is a bit of a knucklehead, or maybe more than a bit of a knucklehead. I get it. The guy's extremely immature. We saw it in Boston. We saw it again with LeBron the other night. But between his stops at Boston and now at Houston, he is 29-12 against the number when he's in that 3-3 range, minus 3 to plus 3 range. So he does find success, or his teams do at least, when it's a game that's supposed to be close down the stretch. And then I look at Houston. I look at Oklahoma City putting up nice numbers. They love to drain the three. Oklahoma City's going to shoot a lot of them. Houston's number one in the league when it comes to deep perimeter defense, number four in field goal percentage allowed. So the metrics, the fact that Udoka usually gets his team ready to go at home, that he tends to keep his team in games that are thought to be close when they start, all led me to Houston plus the points. And it's not a big play by any means. It almost feels kind of like a little bit of a square dog because of how good Houston has played at home this year, but it's the way my numbers come out. I actually had the game pick them, and you know, overnight it was 2.5 when I got it.
I'd like to call there. Go ahead, sorry, Patrick.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think this is a team that when you look at them, you mentioned it, Udoka's got them playing a lot better. We saw them last year. This was an absolute trash can of a team.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you always see the mark of a team that's kind of turning things around for maybe their previous few years, and now they're finally starting to win games. Happens at home, and they usually do extremely well at home, and that's what we're seeing out of the Houston Rockets. They don't always play well on the road, but, man, you don't want to play them in Houston.
Okay, I got one for you, boys. And Dustin, we've texted about this. So the regular season is back. That means my Pistons are back. Boys, they've lost 17 straight games. Now, this might be their best opportunity to pick up a win against a 5-14 Memphis team. Though Memphis playing their best ball, remember, no Ja Morant. So who's running the point right now? Desmond Bane. 13 straight point guards have gone over their point prop total against the Pistons. They cannot defend the point guard. And Desmond Bane, if you can still find a 25.5, he is a monster on the road in particular. This is literally, I wake up and I just look to see who's playing point against the Pistons, and I've been betting them. And as you can see, with 13 straight going over their points total, the Pistons don't defend the perimeter, in particular the point guard. Again, 25.5 on Desmond Bane if you can find it. And Scott Spritzer, my Pistons, it's not going great. 17 straight losses, my friend.
It's not going great. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that somewhere.
That's a quote for you.
That is a good one.
That's from Thomas Jefferson.
There you go. Thomas Jefferson. The one thing you're going to get out of Bane is about 35 minutes. So anytime you play him, you're going to get enough time. And then, you know, if you look at his points and assists combined, they're about 29 or 30 on the season, if memory serves correctly. And you want to throw in the fact that he throws, you know, he gets rebounds. He's averaging like, I don't know, 4 or 5 rebounds a game. I haven't looked at that prop yet. I don't have it in front of me.
PRA. Let's get that, Dustin. Let's get his combo on PRA. That's a good one.
They might, I mean, maybe there's a chance you can find value because I don't think a lot of people realize that this point guard is getting you 4.5 rebounds per contest. But I like that play. Anything against Detroit, like I said, I'm into that whole KISS, keep it simple, stupid system, you know. And so when something looks like it should hit, I tend to try to play it to hit. This is one of those. Who's Detroit going to throw at Bane tonight? They can't throw anybody at point guards right now.
No, they're a disaster.
35.5.
35.5, that's probably a pretty good line. I mean, that's probably what I'd stay away from, but just go with your points and assists.
Not only that, if you're Memphis, you're actually going to get an effort out of a 5-14 team tonight. Nobody wants to lose to the Pistons.
Oh, 100%. And it was early this morning, but I also looked for bigs against Washington. And Embiid was 30.5, Dustin, this morning. I think it's up to 32.5. You can feast again down low. You can feast against this Washington team. I don't know if we, again, there's a distinction between 30.5 and 32.5. Big guy, what do you got for me?
Yeah, his points right now, just getting an update, 32.5, minus 105 on the over.
Okay. You know, now, you got a prop for me?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My props tonight, John Collins.
Go for it.
That's my favorite one so far. Markkanen and Olynyk are out, so short backcourt for Utah. Also, they're going to need scoring from someone else because Jordan Clarkson is out. With those three guys out on Saturday, Collins had 29 combined as PRA. Dallas allows the second most points and the fourth most assists to power forwards, which is why I included the assist in there. Collins can get you 3 or 4 there to help. Another one, Duncan Robinson. Over 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists. It's moved to 19.5. Hero's out. Highsmith is out. Since Hero went down on the 11th of November, Robinson is averaging 23.5 combined per game, so he's going well over that. They're facing Toronto, who allowed the 9th most assists to small forwards, 8th most points, 13th most rebounds, and because he's a three-point shooter, he could just get hot and go over that total on points alone. And I love betting on people who could, like Malik Beasley last night, could have potentially went over the 18.5 on points alone. Instead, we got to include his rebounds and assists in there, and he goes over for us.
Beauty. All right. Okay, boys, anything else on the NBA before we move ahead from anyone?
I have one that I'm going to – you can do it if you got a little bit of chutzpah in you. Tyus Jones, over 18.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists. Jordan Poole's questionable. I haven't seen news. Landry Shamet has a neck injury. He's questionable. Without Shamet, Jones has gone for 19, 21, 23, and 25. The number is set at 18.5. I think if somehow Poole is limited and doesn't play a lot tonight, it could be a Tyus Jones night, but you gotta like really be into taking risks.
Jordan Poole is questionable if he does play, questionable if he tries as well. So there's a lot of questionables about Jordan Poole. Okay, we got the basketball out of the way with our buddy Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper. When we come back, 1, 2, 3, 4 NFL plays. We continue Sharp Money here on a Wednesday.
is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly at DraftKings for new customers when you use that promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. And remember, everyone at DraftKings gets a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, Scott Spritzer, Doc Sports, DOCSports.com, handicapper, of course, professional in town for many, many years, at Scott Wins with two T's. You can find him. Let's transition, boys, as we got one segment to go here with the NFL. And, Scott, I don't see – okay, I just wanted to make sure you didn't have tomorrow night on the map here. And, of course, that is the New England Patriots at Pittsburgh. Trubisky under center. That right now is 6. And did you see the total on this one, Scott? 30.
Yeah,
it's like the Ravens in 2000. Those numbers used to be like 32 consistently with the Baltimore Ravens back in the day. You don't see many 30s, though, do you?
I'm going to be real mean for just a second because Dave Koken and I were texting each other before I came down here today, and he goes, I think I'm just going to be in NHL action tomorrow. There's only 4 or 5 college basketball games, and he goes, and then we got, who was it again, Trubisky against what's his face?
We think Zappi. It's not official
Bailey Zappi.
Yet.
Yeah, so you got Trubisky against Zappi, and I don't mean to be mean, but I was like, that's kind of like watching Malcolm Subban against, you know, Manuel Rayom. You know, I mean, it's not fun. And so I'm pretty sure I'm going to be passing this game. I mean, there's got to be a defensive touchdown or two in there somewhere that could push it over the total. So I'll probably be passing that one and sticking with the rest of the NFL slate and a little bit of NHL tomorrow.
Okay. Well, one of them that you are betting. Now, we just dispelled the West to East Coast misnomer. That is that you fade those teams traveling West to East. Let's see what you do with the Rams at Baltimore with the Baltimore Ravens laying 7 and a total of 40.
Yeah, I'm all over this because West Coast teams are terrible on the East Coast. That's why I'm on the Ravens in this contest. Nah, listen, man. If the Rams lose this game, everybody listening who didn't know about the myth, don't come back and say, well, that's because the West Coast teams do bad on East Coast. I expect these woes for NFC teams against Lamar Jackson to continue. I think I saw somewhere they're like 1-18, these NFC teams against Lamar Jackson. But listen, I look at this. He's behind center. The offense is clicking. They've scored 30 points or more in 5 straight games before a 20-10 win over the Chargers. Number one in rushing yards per game. And the Rams aren't horrible, but they aren't good either against the run. They're kind of like bottom third almost against the run. Baltimore's got a pair of running backs. They're becoming a bigger part of the offense, as you guys know, each week. And the Rams defense goes from facing the bad offenses and the banged up offenses of Cleveland and Arizona to Lamar and company. And I look at this Rams team and I'm like, you know, this is a top 10 team in yards per play this year, but averaged just 16 points per game in their previous 6 games before catching Arizona and Cleveland, talking about the Rams. 16 of their 36 points, and I had the Rams last week, so I followed it closely. I thought I was going to lose. 16 of their 36 points against the Browns came in that final 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Yet here's what's happened. Matthew Stafford's going from clean pockets against both Cleveland and Arizona to this Baltimore defense. No more clean pocket. They lead the league in sacks. They allow less than 16 points per game. Talented secondary. I think it's a long afternoon for Stafford and company.
I'm going to go to a game, Patrick, here that's going to interest you. Obviously, the Detroit Lions taking on the Chicago Bears. Scott, line is 3, sitting in favor of the Detroit Lions. A game that, let's be real, guys, Chicago gave away last time. I'm out to 3.5. I'm seeing the number, but 44 the total here, Scott.
Yeah, I grabbed the Bears here, guys. I know it could be tough getting behind the Bears. I had them against Minnesota on that Monday night game, that 12-10 ugly game, but they won. But I get it. Their head coach is probably out the door at the end of the season. The offense can look ugly. But they did lead Detroit until the Lions scored with 30 seconds to go in that first meeting, and no defense has made Jared Goff look worse than what the Bears have done this year. They're averaging about 9 quarterback pressures per game over the last 3 games. I think that's something that isn't talked about enough. All of a sudden, they're either getting to the quarterback or they're hurrying the quarterback in the last 3 games. They're also picking off passes along with it with a pretty decent secondary at this point. And they're about as healthy as a team gets at this point of the NFL season. The thing I like about this game even more, or the final reason, they're expecting high winds and bad weather in Chicago, which means a running game is going to be key. The Bears are 2nd in the league in yards per rush allowed. And if you look at Detroit's last 4 games, 126 yards per game they've allowed, more than 30 yards above their season average over those last 4 games, 70% passing, 8.43 yards per pass allowed, 9 touchdowns, and 2 picks to starting quarterbacks. I like Chicago in this game to pull the upset over Detroit.
Curious to see what you're doing with this one. The Denver Broncos are at the Chargers. So, interesting. The Chargers are just such a difficult team to figure out here. Three. Now, we're showing three on the board, but it's no longer three. I mean, maybe you can find a three in the market with the Chargers laying it, but mostly everybody's minus 2.5 with the Chargers and 44 on the total.
Yeah, I grabbed the three. Can any Charger fan be happy with last week's win, 6-0 against the New England Patriots? I mean, that was an absolute disaster by both teams. I love Justin Herbert, one of my top five favorite quarterbacks in the league, but he's getting no help. The offense has 16 points in the last two games. Austin Eckler's disappeared. He came back from the injury, and he hasn't been the same. He's getting nothing on the ground, 52 yards on 24 carries in his last two games combined. Austin Eckler's biggest gain in 24 carries over the last two games was 6 yards. He had 6 yards against one team. He had 4 yards against the other, his biggest gains in 24 carries. So, you know, and then you take away, if you remember, you take away one run against Green Bay a month ago, and in that game he had 27 yards on 9 carries. I mean, it's just been a real tough go of it for the running game. The dinks and dumps that they used to rely on with Herbert and Eckler last year aren't the same this year. They try to be more of a downfield passing team this year. And then you look at the Chargers. They beat New England. Led by Zappe, they've beaten the Jets. They've beaten a joke of an offense in the Jets. They beat the Bears when the Bears had Tyson Bagent. And they beat the Raiders before the coaching change. That's 4 of their 5 wins. They're 28th in yards per play allowed. I think Denver goes into L.A. and wins the game. And again, you know, I don't want to lay points with the Chargers anywhere, even at home. So I took the points. I got the 3 with Denver.
Now, this is a Chargers team that's interesting. They've lost 5 games by 3 points this year, guys. I mean, their 5-7 record, kind of, they are who they, what their record is, but they have been right there in a lot of games.
Comes down to coaching, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Stanley blows it, and again, their wins, 4 of their 5 wins are against a bunch of also-rans. I'll be nice and just say it that way.
Yeah, that was kind of you. Yeah, the final one here for Scott Spritzer, Buffalo at Kansas. Buffalo needs wins here. Whether or not, I mean, if you want to say they have to win out, I mean, it's pretty close. Buffalo, Kansas City. Kansas City's laying 1.5 and a total of 48.5.
Well, we all know KC's been a little ugly of late. They've lost 3 of 5. 2 of those games came on the road. They did blow the Philly game at Arrowhead, game they should have won. But the defense was great. They outgained Philly by almost 100 yards, and they lose the game by 4 points. Buffalo's gaining a lot of yardage. They still are, but take a look at who they've beaten and where they've gained a lot of their yardage, and it's a little bit of a perspective on this team. 5 of their wins came against the Jets, the Buccaneers, the Giants, the Commanders, and the Raiders back in Week 2, again, before the Raiders had made the coaching change. The Bills have one quality win, as far as I'm concerned. They beat Miami in Week 2. That's been it. And the wins over the Bucs and Giants both came by 1 score. I think KC's able to run well in this game, Patrick. I think they'll get the job done against this Buffalo defense. And the Bills, again, they've lost to the Jets. They've lost to the Patriots. I really do think KC bounces back here. I think the number is fair. If you like KC, it almost looks too good to be true, I think, if you like KC in this game. But I still like them to win by a touchdown.
This is an important game for both sides here. Kansas City sitting at 8-4. They're still trying to vie for the number one overall seed. Buffalo, you mentioned it, Patrick, 6-6. But here's the thing. They've got the Cowboys on deck the following week. Then they've got a couple of easier games, Chargers, Patriots, and they close out with Miami. I don't know if you guys will sign off on this, but the Dolphins obviously have an easy one against the Titans this week, but they close out in their final 3 games, I believe, against Dallas, the Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 3 games back. Could they theoretically win this division if you believe they can beat Kansas City and Dallas?
For me, it's one of those things where it's like the reason teams this deep into the season are in must-win spots in Week 13 or Week 14 is because they're not good enough to not be in must-win spots. So, boy, I don't think they – I mean, if they can beat KC, everything starts to change a little bit. They got to get past the Cowboys, and then they get a couple of probable wins. But I can't do it, man. I look at who this team has beaten. I look at how they've played when they've been in close games and how they've blown games. And listen, KC the other night against Green Bay, they had a couple of big chances to win that football game. Mistakes of their own cost them in that game, and I just can't do it with Buffalo.
Are you a Green Bay believer at this point, Scott?
I'm still not there yet, and I'll tell you why real quickly, because you've got a quarterback who has all of a sudden picked his game up, Jordan Love, and they're letting him sling the ball all over the field, which he didn't do early in the season. But I don't like the fact of the style of play that they're running for him to find receivers open, I think is going to get caught up with by the rest of the league on their schedule. And you're going to see a couple of bad spots for Jordan Love pop up in the next few weeks. What teams are going to do is they're going to get a read on what he's doing. He's like Favre. Everybody's talked about it. He's going to throw that occasional horrible, costly pass. He did it a couple of times against KC. KC just didn't turn him into anything. That's going to cost him. Right now, they're doing a lot of stuff to get this guy to be able to roll and be open with his passing, and he's still making some really bad passes. I think it catches up to him.
Okay. Scott, great stuff. And it's, again, the basketball game tonight at UNLV has been canceled. Our thoughts with everybody involved in the shooting there on campus at UNLV. Scott, appreciate you. Get home safely. Amal Shah, you do the same. Dustin Sweetelson, of course, you do the same as well. Doc Sports, DOC Sports, and Scott Wins on Twitter. We'll see Scott next Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money.